And now, it's time for our weekly news round, Lutheran Radio News, with Paul Hill.
A community of 15 Benedictine nuns at Morling Abbey go to war with the housing developer. Israeli forest fire spares Christian shrine. Christian leaders warn against the rise of Christian nationalism, saying that it provides a cover for white supremacy. Pastor accused of hate speech wins £2,500 payout from Scotland Yard. Christmas in July celebrations are banned because they are too religious. Atheist parents take primary school to court as they say assembly prayers breach children's human rights. Italian town to issue €400 blasphemy fines. And let us putt. Cathedral installs crazy golf course. And priest ignored church bequest and gave money to a local school. Since 1090, the Benedictine nuns of Morling Abbey have led a secluded life of worship in which tranquility is cherished above all else. But years of peaceful existence is about to be ripped apart by housing developers who are rolling in diggers and preparing to build a sprawling 65-home estate next to the grounds of the Grade 1 and Grade 2 listed buildings. The sisters, however, are battling to preserve the isolation they currently enjoy in West Morling in Kent, actually not far from where I live. And they've been backed by many in the local community, which is rallying against construction company Bellway on their behalf. The Reverend David Green, Vicar of St Mary's Church in West Morling, said the order of around 10 to 15 nuns, whose ages are estimated to range from 35 to 95, required a quiet environment to worship in. He said their whole way of life is built around isolated prayer and peace and quiet. Bellway's plans would see fields on the eastern edge of West Morling occupied by a new estate. The Reverend Green said the side of the abbey grounds nearest the development housed the nuns' personal accommodation, cloisters, chapel and burial ground. They are there for a reason. It's the quietest part of the grounds, he said. He added, for the nuns is a particular concern because their entire way of life is built around silence and quiet, and they are being asked to effectively tolerate an enormous building site and a significant number of homes that will increase traffic and cause noise. He said a section of the grounds was also rented to the Pilsden Community, a Christian charity that provides refuge for the homeless, recovering alcohol and drug addicts, and people fleeing domestic violence. The Reverend Green, a trustee to the charity, said up to 15 to 20 vulnerable people who have nowhere to go are supported in rebuilding their lives in the quiet community. Again, this development will be right on their doorstep, he said. If you flip it around, if this housing development had already been there, would Pilsden, this charity, set up here? The answer is no. We all recognise there needs to be homes in the southeast of England, but they need to be in a sensible place, and unfortunately, this is definitely not a sensible place. Bellway originally sought outline planning permission from Tunbridge and Morling Borough Council for a development of up to 80 residential properties, reduced to 65 through amendments, including 40% affordable housing. A public inquiry is due to start on August the 20th. Trudy Dean, chair of West Morling Parish Council, said, "The whole community has come together to support the nuns against this highly intrusive plan." St Mary's Abbey, better known as Morling Abbey, was founded as an order of Benedictine nuns in 1090 by the Norman monk bishop Gundulf of Rochester. When Henry VIII established the Church of England, the order was dissolved and the abbey passed into secular ownership. The last elected abbess, Elizabeth Reed, was even deposed for defying the monarch. But it returned to its Benedictine roots in the late 19th century after it was restored by a charitable trust. Trudy Dean claimed proposals would see around 80 metres of mature trees cut down for an access road, damaging the town's rural character. Mrs. Dean, who also sits on Kent County Council and the Borough Council, said, "The effect on the abbey is devastating. If the sisters cannot carry on their work, we risk them quitting the site and losing what in many ways is the beating heart of our community and has been for over 1,000 years. West Morling Parish Council has set up an online crowdfunding page to raise £10,000 for legal support of the public inquiry to help protect the site from the bulldozers. A spokesman for the Newcastle-based FTSE 250 listed Bellway said there was a proven need for more new homes across Tunbridge and Morling, and that the development would make an important contribution to the availability of private and affordable homes. He added, only 35% of the site will be developed. The remaining area will be dedicated to creating open space for the benefit of the whole community. It is claimed proposals would see around 80 metres of mature trees cut down for the access road, damaging the town's character. There will be a significant buffer of green space and landscaping separating the homes from the Abbey, and there are no plans to build along the boundary with the Abbey. Bellway would contribute £550,000 in planning contributions towards primary and secondary schools, improvements to Westmorland Group practice doctor's surgery, local footpath improvements and other community uses. A spokesman for the Diocese of Rochester, which owns the Abbey, said, "We do have concerns about the proposal and so are watching the work of the inquiry closely and are working with our agents on the matter." A forest fire in northern Israel that threatened a church where the Transfiguration of Jesus took place was extinguished without the shrine being damaged, firefighters said on Sunday. The fire on Mount Tabor, where the Basilica of the Transfiguration is located, broke out Thursday and has been put out late Friday. But small fires are rekindled every so often, and teams at the site are dealing with them, fire service spokesman Dudi Peretz told AFP. The church was not damaged, he said, noting the fire had burnt nearly 500 acres of shrubs, thorns and some trees. Police said arson was not suspected. Israel had been gripped by record high temperatures accompanied by dry conditions and strong winds over the past week, with wildfires reported across the country. The basilica, built in 1924 by the Roman Catholic Franciscan order, sits atop the wooded Mount Tabor at a site where the Christian Gospels say that Jesus, accompanied by disciples Peter, John and James, glowed with light and spoke with the prophets Moses and Elijah. Hundreds of thousands of pilgrims visit the church every year, according to the Franciscan Custody of the Holy Land, which oversees Roman Catholic properties in the area. The church does not have a proper water supply or sewage network. Holy Land Custos brother Francesco Patton called on the Israeli authorities to meet their legal obligations and ensure a regular supply of water to the mountain and sewage system, even if elementary. Ensuring the freedom of worship and access to holy sites includes the duty to supply basic services and safeguard the lives of the monks and visitors there, he said in a statement issued over the weekend. A spokesman for the Israeli Water Authority said in response that the cost of such infrastructure should be covered by the church and not the state. A group of Christians have hit out against the rise of Christian nationalism, which they say is being used as a cover for white supremacy. In a statement on Monday, 17 leaders of churches and organizations around the country joined forces to form Christians Against Christian Nationalism. They released a statement on a newly formed website denouncing white supremacy and distancing themselves from it. Christian nationalism seeks to merge Christian and American identities, distorting both the Christian faith and America's constitutional democracy. Christian nationalism demands Christianity be privileged by the state and implies that to be a good American, one must be Christian. It often overlaps with and provides cover for white supremacy and racial subjugation. We reject this damaging political ideology and invite our Christian brothers and sisters to join us in opposing this threat to our faith and to our nation, the statement read. The Post called on other Christians to join their cause and fight over the rise of Christian nationalism, saying, "Whether we worship at a church, mosque, synagogue or temple, America has no second-class faiths. All are equal under the US Constitution. As Christians, we must speak in one voice, condemning Christian nationalism as a distortion of the gospel of Jesus and a threat to American democracy." In recent years, there has been a spike in the number of white supremacist rallies across the country. At many, marchers carry crosses or religious paraphernalia. The cross is also a favorite symbol of the Ku Klux Klan. Among those who joined the group was the Reverend Michael B. Curry, the Reverend who presided over Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's wedding in May last year. He dazzled global audiences with his energetic sermon about love and equality. In London, a Christian street preacher who had his Bible wrested from him as he was handcuffed and then taken away by police has been awarded £2,500 for wrongful arrest. Olwais Ilisamni, 64, has welcomed the payout by the Metropolitan Police as a victory for freedom of speech after he'd been wrongly accused of Islamophobia. The former dentist was preaching outside Southgate Tube Station in North London in February when he was approached by two officers. A passerby had earlier called police and accused Mr. Ilisamni of hate speech. He admits to having described Islam as an aberration, but insists he was simply expressing his point of view as a Christian rather than denigrating Muslims. One of the police officers claimed Mr. Ilisamni was disturbing the peace, saying, "No one wants to hear that, they want you to go away." A video of the incident taken by a passerby shows the policeman taking the Bible away to Mr. Ilisamni's visible distress. One of the officers then says, "You should have thought about that before being racist." He was handcuffed before the officer gave a thumbs up to the camera. Mr. Ilisamni was then bundled into a police car and driven several miles away. There the grandfather was de-arrested and let out of the car. However, he was not carrying any money, and it was only thanks to the kindness of a stranger who gave him the necessary bus fare that he was able to get back. Scotland Yard has now agreed to pay Mr. Ilisamni £2,500 for wrongful arrest and his humiliating and distressing treatment. Mr. Ilisamni told the Mail on Sunday, "I believe God loves everyone, including Muslims, but I have the right to say that I don't agree with Islam. We are living in a Christian country after all. I was upset when they took away my Bible. They just threw it in the police car. They would never have done that if it had been the Quran. Whatever happened to freedom of speech?" The incident was captured on camera by Ambrosine Chitrit, who was passing when he saw Mr. Ilisamni debating with a Muslim man who she said was becoming aggressive. She said, "The preacher was fearless, but if I hadn't started filming, he would have been attacked. He was not preaching the peace, and in no way had he been Islamophobic. I would have been the first person to have said something if he had been." Ms. Shitrit's footage was posted online and has since been viewed 10 million times. Police first claimed they had driven Mr. Ilisamni just 200 yards away, but when the Christian Legal Centre took up Mr. Ilisamni's case, staff found his bus ticket, which showed he'd been taken much further. The Met now admit it was more than 4 miles away, but insist he was offered a lift back, but he refused. The case was raised in Parliament, and a petition with 38,000 signatures calling for greater religious freedom for Christian street pastors will be delivered to government next week. The payout for Mr. Ilisamni, who moved to the UK from Nigeria in 2010 as a Protestant missionary, includes compensation for wrongful arrest and forced imprisonment, aggravated damages for exceptional harm and humiliating and distressing treatment, and recognition for the potential psychological trauma experienced during the arrest. Andrea Williams, chief executive of the Christian Legal Centre, said, "Despite laws that theoretically support the freedom to preach in public, in practice, police officers are quick to silence preachers at the first suggestion that a member of the public is offended." A Met police spokesman said, "The Met respects and upholds the rights of all individuals to practice freedom of speech, and this includes street preachers of all religions and backgrounds. However, if the language someone uses is perceived as being a potential hate crime, it is only right that we investigate. In this case, it was deemed appropriate to remove the man from the area." In Australia, a Christmas in July event has been cancelled by the council after it was deemed too religious. Carols by the Creek at Mitcham in South Adelaide has been an annual event since 1993 and draws crowds of more than 5,000 every year. But the city's council have voted to abolish the event, citing its $45,000 Australian dollars production costs and the fact that it was non-inclusive for non-Christians. Since the announcement, residents have flocked to social media and to the council in a bid to reinstate the event. "Religious event? Last year I don't remember prayer being a part of it. It's a great opportunity for the community to come together in a time of reflecting on peace and giving, which is the bigger picture. Being good humans," one user wrote on the City of Mitcham's residents' Facebook page. "I'm sad as a community member with young children. I believe these community events help our children understand their broader community and build connections and loving childhood memories. We are not a religious family, but do value this community event, another wrote. A third resident said that while she wasn't religious either, she looked forward to the event every year, as it was a tradition from when her own parents used to take her. It's a beautiful family event, very disappointed, she said. But councillor Darren Cruz said he's standing stoic and is happy to adopt the Christmas Grinch moniker. Council should not be funding what fundamentally is a religious event with a no contribution from the churches, councillor Cruz said during an hour-long debate on the issue the advertiser reported. It's not inclusive because it talks to one major religion, the Christian religion. It is dominant and that is not our demographic. If the churches want to run it, they should run it. The council has really lost the plot. Political correctness, they want to destroy culture, Mr. Duloc told Nine News. Let people sing carols, let people come together, and let Mitcham Council stop being the Grinch that's stealing Christmas. The event was cancelled after a narrow 7-5 vote. In the UK, atheist parents are taking their children's primary school to the High Court, claiming that biblical reenactments and praying in assembly are a breach of their human rights. Lee Harris and his wife Lizanne have won permission to bring a judicial review against Oxford Diocesan Schools Trust, the ODST, after arguing that Burford Primary School is acting unlawfully. They allege that since ODST took over the running of the community school in 2015, they noticed harmful aspects of evangelism spreading into assembly and other parts of their pupils' education. In the first case of its kind, the parents are arguing that this interferes with their children's right to receive an education free from religious interference. ODST is a multi-academy trust that runs 33 schools, all of which are Church of England bar 4, including Burford Primary, which are designated as non-religious community schools. The trust says on its website that it operates within the family of the Diocese of Oxford, adding, "We are motivated by our Christian values to serve our local communities, but we do not impose those values." Humanists UK, which is supporting Mr. and Mrs. Harris, believe this will be a test case to challenge schools which hold a daily act of Christian worship without providing a suitable alternative for non-Christians. All church and community schools are required by law to provide a daily act of collective worship. Burford Primary holds a daily assembly for children which features exclusively Christian prayer, Mr. and Mrs. Harris say. They add that once a week there is a longer assembly which involves an external Christian group dressing as biblical characters and acting out Christian stories, including the crucifixion. When they asked to withdraw their children, aged 8 and 10, from the longer assembly, they were left to play with an iPad while a teaching assistant watched over them, according to the parents. By failing to provide an alternative that is of equal educational worth, the school has breached its public sector equality duty to have due regard to people's beliefs and has also breached the children's human right by denying them education. The school also holds various functions in a church, including a harvest event and the Year 6 Leavers event, where every pupil is given a Bible. Mr. and Mrs. Harris say they do not want their children to attend these events, which leaves them deprived of the benefit of what should be important elements of school and community life. This amounts to another breach of equalities laws, since their children are effectively being discriminated against, they argue. In a joint statement, they say the parents say are bringing the case reluctantly, but added they feel strongly that we need to make our children's education as inclusive as possible. Andrew Copson, chief exec of Humanist UK, said, "We're the only sovereign state in the world to require schools to hold daily Christian worship, yet 80% of our young people and 75% of people of parental age are not Christians." He added that requiring children to participate in religious worship and then marginalizing them as if in good conscience they cannot ignores their right to freedom of religion or belief. Anne Davey, chief executive of ODST, said it is not appropriate to comment on legal proceedings while the case is ongoing. ODST is confident that Burford Primary School has acted entirely appropriately and has followed statute in ways that are similar to all local or indeed national schools, she said. It has provided exactly what the law requires, which includes provision for children to be withdrawn if parents so request. Burford Primary was judged to be good in its most recent Ofsted report. Inspectors said that pupils speak with confidence about different faiths and cultures, and added that pupils have a keen sense of equalities, and their work demonstrates a deep understanding of British values. The northern Italian town has had enough of people taking the Lord's name in vain, and those who do so will be fined up to €400, £360, for blasphemy. The city council of Sonara, a town with 10,000 inhabitants just outside Padua, has introduced a new law, making it illegal to blaspheme against any faith or religion and utter foul language in public. The mayor, Walter Stephan, said the move was designed to get rid of uncivilized behavior and promote public decency. "Blasphemy is offensive. It offends me," Mr. Stephan told The Telegraph on Friday. "With this law, you will not be able to cause offence to any religion. We have to respect the faithful." The mayor, a practicing Catholic, said it was not designed to protect only Christianity, but all faiths. "It is valid for Allah, Buddha, or Muhammad," he said. The blasphemy ban is part of a far-reaching local law aimed at tackling uncivil behaviour. It includes 75 articles with hefty sanctions for those who mow the lawn outside designated hours, walk their dog without a lead, or dump their rubbish in public places. "We have taken a series of measures to contain all those uncivilized activities that make coexistence difficult," Mr. Stephan said. "It will no longer be possible to cut the lawn at certain times. We want to send a message that incorrect behavior will no longer be tolerated." Mr. Stephan, a father of three, is not aligned with any major political party and has been mayor of the town since 2012. He was re-elected in 2017 with a 52.2% of the vote. He said flyers in four languages, including Chinese and Romanian, would be sent to residents in September to inform them about the new fines. "There may be a bigger problem around, but we can't consider civility banal," he said. "If we let this go, young people will become louts. We want to create a courteous community and behaviour that prevents conflict." Amero Badon, a local councillor from the Five Star Movement, said he supported the law but did not know if the fines would be enough to improve behaviour, especially that of young people in the community. Blasphemy was decriminalised in Italy in 1999, but certain sanctions remain for offences against the deity. In December last year, a man was fined €100 for blasphemy in front of a school near Savona. Back in the UK. "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Psalm 23 could become a golfer's prayer for avoiding the rough and water hazards at a Church of England cathedral this week. Rochester Cathedral has opened a crazy golf course in its nave, allowing visitors to putt their way around the 11th century building. The installation has prompted criticism from some who have questioned the holiness of hosting nine holes in a place of worship, while supporters have nicknamed it the Fairway to Heaven. The free course, in place for a month, features a series of bridges installed in partnership with the Rochester Bridge Trust, which promotes engineering education. Cathedral bosses have seized on the theme of building bridges as a Christian message, explaining, "We hope that, while playing, visitors will reflect on the bridges that need to be built in their own lives and in our world today." Services will continue, and there are still quiet areas for prayer. This is the latest attempt to breathe life into ancient cathedrals. Many face severe financial struggles, but congregations have risen by about 10% in a decade. The Archbishop of Canterbury told a cathedral's conference last year, "The first thing I want is for people not to be bored. I want them to have fun. If you can't have fun in a cathedral, you don't know what fun is." Cathedrals are taking that message to heart. A 50-foot Helter Skelter will open at the 12th century Norwich Cathedral next month, and Chester Cathedral is building a Lego model of itself with 300,000 bricks. The very Reverend Adrian Dauber, chairman of the Association of English Cathedrals, said, "There is a cathedral space out there, and we hope that occupying it in a bold, fresh, exciting way that says something about cathedrals being a place for all." A bishop's chaplain has been given a formal rebuke by a tribunal for ignoring a former parishioner's dying wish to leave more than £300,000 to a parish church in her will and diverting the cash to the local church school instead. A church disciplinary tribunal said that the Reverend Canon Cameron Butland had acted in good faith when telling solicitors to send the money to the local church school, but found that he did not have the right to override the wishes of the female parishioner who had set aside the funds for the church. The tribunal warned that bequests left by parishioners formed a vital resource in church funding, and that those who left money must feel confident that the church will respect and adhere to their wishes, deeming Mr. Butland's behaviour to be worthy of a formal church rebuke. A sum of £338,823 was bequeathed in 2011 by Aline Hackett, a worshipper who had left the parish so many years earlier. She stipulated in her will that she wanted the money to go to St. Oswald's, a church in Grasmere in the Lake District, to be used for the maintenance, repair or improvement of the church and churchyard. Solicitors for Miss Hackett wrote to Mr. Butland in 2011 when he was rector of St. Oswald's and asked for the church's charity number, but he instead provided the charity number of the Grasmere Church of England School Trust, of which he was a trustee. Mr. Butland told the solicitors that giving the money to the school would be the most appropriate way to remember her and for her bequest to do the most good for the church and village community. A church judge said Mr. Butland had been told by a relative that Miss Hackett loved children and had attended the church school as a child. The tribunal board said, "We accept that he formed a belief that the bequest was somehow related to her time at the church school and her love of children." The school spent £70,000 of the money on building works before accountants discovered that the bequest should have gone to the church. The parochial church council resolved the issue by designating the £70,000 already spent as a gift to the school before the remaining funds were transferred back to the church. The church has since used part of the money to make £270,000 of urgent repairs to its tower. Mr. Butland left Grasmere to become chaplain to the Bishop of Carlisle in 2015. A complaint was made against him last year by the Archdeacon of Westmoreland and Furness, who alleged that Mr. Butland had been neglectful or inefficient in his duties. The church tribunal found that the issue had caused some upset in the community and also made it difficult for the church to raise money. The tribunal also found that there was no suggestion that Mr. Butland had acted dishonestly or other than in good faith, and said that he showed genuine remorse and accepted the misconduct. However, it found that his behaviour was worthy of penalty and determined that the appropriate penalty was a rebuke, the least severe penalty a church tribunal can impose. The judgment was handed down by Judge John Lodge, chairman of the Bishop's Disciplinary Tribunal for the Diocese of Carlisle. He warned of reputational damage to the church from such cases, but said that the misconduct neither involved any dishonesty nor any gain for Mr. Butland. And finally, attending a wedding for the first time, a little girl whispered to her mother, "Why is the bride dressed in white?" Her mum replied, "Because white is the colour of happiness, and today is the happiest day of her life." The child thought about this for a moment and then said, "So why is the groom wearing black?"
My name is Paul Hill. Thank you for listening to Lutheran Radio UK. Lutheran Radio News will be back next Friday. Until then, every blessing to you and goodbye for now.